And welcome back to Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Joining us now is Cordon Bleu chef, author, syndicated columnist, and our friend Linda Gassenheimer. So, Linda, hello.
Hello, Bonnie.
What's on the menu today?
Oh, what's on the menu? Well, Bonnie, we're partway through the summer, and maybe some people are looking for what to do with the kids.
But, you know, I don't remember cooking at summer camp, and I used to go to camp. Did you?
First, you have to ask me if I went to camp.
Did you go to camp, Linda?
It wasn't my thing.
Oh, okay.
Well, how about cooking camp, all right?
Okay.
The Patricia and Philip Frost Museum of Science has several programs. So it's a double whammy here. They're getting healthy cooking and they're learning about science. They have several programs there. And our guest is Carlisa Callwood. She's the Director of Programs and Content at the museum. And she's going to tell us what's happening there. And she's also going to give us a little peek, a beforehand look at what's going to happen with the new museum site at Bicentennial Park.
That's exciting.
Under construction right now. So let's welcome Carlisa Callwood.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. We want to hear all about this news. And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any questions or comments about the Science Museum? Give us a call, 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Yes, yes.
I was going to say, and email.
Is radio at WLRN.org.
Okay, and also, of course, with us is our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype, and you can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column in today's Miami Herald. And by the way, the Miami Herald has they're revamping the whole food sections, and there's going to be more than one. There's going to be more food on Saturday, and there's, of course, food today.
Is that Evan Benz doing?
Yes, it certainly is. And Kendall Hammersley, who's features editor. Uh-huh. Well, you can also read Fred Tasker's wine column in today's Miami Herald. Fred, what are we drinking today?
Well, I went to Methodist Church camp, and we didn't do a lot of wine there, so I guess I have to talk about something else. Better talk about what the trends are in wine today.
All right. We'll be interested in hearing about it.
They didn't have wine at my camp either, I don't think, Fred.
Not even sacramental.
No.
Carlisa Callwood, kids, science, cooking camp. What a combination. So you mentioned the focus at the camp is going to be on science and healthy eating. So how does this work?
Yes. Yeah, so this summer we're having a camp class that's called Chromatic Cooking, which looks at how we use different plants and vegetables to make healthy meals. So the class focuses on colorful plants and cooking, as well as exploring the pigments in the foods.
So let me ask you then, because they're using foods that have a lot of color.
Yes.
And they're finding out why the color helps us healthfully?
Right. So they're learning why the color is there and how those pigments can aid us in our life and for health benefits. And
wow.
Also how they're used in different foods to help create different food types. And they'll also look at how those pigments in the food respond to things like heat and pH when you actually start the process of cooking meals.
Did they even know what pH was when they came to the camps?
Some of them probably did. We have some very sophisticated campers in our science camp.
What are the ages of the campers?
The ages for this week, the class started this week, are second and third grade. And then next week, the class will be for fourth and fifth graders.
So is there room in the class next week?
Yes, there is still space in the class for next week for fourth and fifth grade
so
students.
How fascinating. I never thought of looking at the color. Well, we already know that blueberries and apricots and those colors, they're good for us, but never thought of looking at it to why and what happens.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think that's the fascinating part about it, learning all of that intricate science that goes on behind it, and that just naturally exists in the plants, and how we can use that to our advantage.
So then the children come in and they are they cooking or are they watching a demonstration?
A little bit of both. We have Chef Kat Duran who's leading the class. So she usually does some demonstrating for them, but usually prepares some activities that the kids can do some cooking as well.
Well, fascinating. I need to go sit there and find out what all this...
When you asked if there was room in the camp, I would guess, I thought that's what you were asking, if there was room for you.
Yeah, since I hadn't been to camp, maybe I should go to this one, you think. Okay. Well, what are some of the recipes they're making?
Some of the things that they're learning to make include sweet potato hummus, beet pasta with ricotta, edible plant cells, sweet no-sell.
Edible plant cells? Yes, stop there. What's that? Well,
yes.
They're probably learning about the parts of plant cells and making an edible version using Jell-O and other types of foods.
Sorry, I'm confused. I don't know that any of us are going to get this straight now.
We may not. We may have to
They're looking at the plant cells through a microscope, and then they're trying to reproduce it with a kind of food.
Correct, so making a model of it.
If it looks like a protozoa, then they're going to make Jell-O protozoa.
Correct.
Kind of thing?
Yes.
All right, I got that part now.
Good for you, Linda.
Yeah, well, it took a little while. But so what is the response to the, do they like the foods, these healthy foods? Or they say, oh, healthy, I don't like it?
No, the kids really love these cooking classes. I think because they're so hands-on and they're getting to learn a lot more about it. It's one of those classes when you walk in, the kids are so engrossed. They don't want to stop for a break. Usually we have breaks where they can go play in the museum. They don't want that break time. They want to continue working in the class.
That's great, too, because then they learn how to eat healthy foods from such a young age. I mean, second and third grade, that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, can you imagine? I can. How many are in the class?
The class caps at 25. I believe this week there are about 15 students in the class.
Well, my hat's off to a chef who works with 25 second graders cooking. That must be a challenge. Okay. So you have a Heart Smart program or something throughout the year at the Science Museum. Tell me about that.
Yes, one of our permanent exhibits at the museum is called Heart Smart, and this exhibit focuses on heart health. So what do you need to do to keep healthy and be a heart health person? And at this exhibit, what people can do is it's computer-based. They stop at the first computer, get a little ticket, and with that ticket, they can go around to various other stations, which include blood pressure machine, something that calculates their BMI from their height and weight, a system that has them input information about their daily habits. How much TV do they watch? How much exercise do they get daily?
They need to be honest about this, right?
Correct, yes. It works based on honesty. But through visiting these different components within the exhibit, they learn about what it takes to be heart health, as well as learning additional strategies that they can take with them when they leave the museum.
And this includes also food that they're...
Correct.
And this is open to the public. Anybody who goes into the museum throughout the year can do that. That's kind of a nice thing to do with some kids on a weekend day or something, see how it's going. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the parents
need it. That's great education. I was going to say the kids can teach their parents.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes.
Right. And then you have a festival, an eating festival once a year?
Yes. Yearly we have a Miami Eats Festival that we have typically done in April. And the Miami Eats Festival focuses on looking at the different ways that you can eat healthy here in Miami. So we typically invite various chefs and organizations that focus on healthy eating to come participate. And it's just a day of healthy eating, nutrition, fitness. When we did it this year, we had a Zumba teacher come out to talk about how you can use Zumba as a fitness technique. We highlighted our Heart Smart area that we just spoke about, but the entire day is all about how you include and make healthy eating and fitness part of your regular lives.
Oh, that's terrific. And again, open to the public
yes.
to come in. And what is the entrance for the museum?
The entrance for the museum is typically about $10 mm-hmm. for adults, nine
for
adults. Kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and also you mentioned something called Groove. What is that all about at the museum?
Yes, Groove is one of the youth programs that we're currently doing. It's a research-based program that introduces girls specifically to nutritional health concepts, benefits of increased physical activity, and teaches them to empower themselves to make their own healthy choices about food.
And why girl? Why is it focused more on girls?
The museum has had a long history on focusing on underrepresented populations in science, so specifically girls or other underserved populations. So this particular program uses the Groove Girls to focus on the science behind health, nutrition, and fitness. And because it is a research study, they're looking at how the use of technology can aid in helping them to learn about this info a little bit better.
Well, that's fascinating. Yeah. That's very, very interesting. And then you mentioned hydroponics. They're learning about hydroponics there.
Yes. The museum has started within the past year or two a hydroponics program where we're trying out the different science behind learning how to grow plants without soil in areas like Miami where you may not have as much outdoor retail space. We want to find different ways to encourage people to grow their own plants and veggies as another source.
So they can do this at home?
Yeah, they can do it at home. The museum has prototyped several different versions, a larger version that goes against the side of the wall. But there are also smaller versions that are really economical and easy to use. And we've even done them in various classes and schools where we've taught the teachers and the kids how to use these systems.
So, I mean, that's amazing because you can put nutrients in the water.
Correct.
And they can grow their plants and then have a healthy, something healthy to eat, just growing in their own home.
Exactly.
Without a garden.
Without a garden. So even if you live in an apartment building.
Right. Okay. Great idea.
Fantastic.
We just have a quick question. Dark colors and fruit by Mary are talked about a lot as being good for you. What about things like the red, black pigment in black rice? Anybody know?
Well, I don't know.
Me either.
Okay. Well, Mary, we don't know.
Maybe somebody else does. Somebody will come in and why not Google it and find out. But at the moment, we have to take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking with Carlisa Callwood. She's from the Patricia and Philip Frost Museum of Science. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking with Carlisa Callwood. She's the Director of Programs and Content at the Patricia and Philip Frost Museum of Science here in Miami. She's been telling us about this summer kids cooking camp, which sounds really, really interesting. It features science and healthy foods at the museum. And she's going to give us an inside look pretty soon at what the new museum that's going up at Bicentennial Park. But meanwhile, it's dinner in minutes time. So here's a simple 10-minute meal. It's not going to heat up your kitchen. It's shrimp gazpacho with cheese toasts. So you have some the sweet shrimp, easily bought, cucumbers, tomatoes. They make a cool, it's a soup supper. So how do you make it? You buy some low-salt tomato juice, some fresh tomatoes, some cucumber cubes. You put all that into a large soup bowl. And then I add a little bit of olive oil, some balsamic vinegar, and a little plain yogurt, and you stir that all together. So that's the basis for the soup.
You don't put it in the blender?
Nope, you don't. You just have the tomato soup, and then the tomatoes are cut into cubes, and the cucumber into cubes. You put that on the soup bowl, and then you add some cooked shrimp. You can buy the shrimp already cooked. Add that in, and it's as easy as that. It's a delicious, easy gazpacho. And to go with it, we have some cheese toasts. I used Manchego cheese. But you can use any kind of hard cheese. You toast some whole grain bread in either a toaster oven or under the broiler. You remove it, you add some sliced cheese to it, and toast it again till the cheese melts. That's 10 minutes. Couldn't be easier on a nice, hot, warm, hot summer day evening. The complete recipe, it's on my website, dinnerinminutes.com, and it has a photograph. Now you can find another quick and easy dinner in minutes in today's Miami Herald. It's grilled turkey sausage with mango relish and some quick coleslaw, something to do with this mega mangoes crop we have this year. And please do follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking?
You know, first, that gazpacho sounds absolutely wonderful. I'll have to try that.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing, friend.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
well, you
I'm
know
an old
where
newspaper
you can find
guy,
it.
And we old newspaper guys love trends because spotting trends makes us look smart. So here's what's trending in wine these days. I'll put the first one in a question, Linda. Tell me, how many wineries would you say there are in the United States today?
Okay, so this is testing Linda's wine knowledge.
That's right.
Well, I would say that there are a lot, and I'd say it's probably in the thousands. Am I close?
You're close. It's 7,762.
Wow.
Which is a lot of wineries. In fact,
sure
wine
is
made in all 50 states these days. Even Alaska, you say? Well, sort of.
Yes.
I checked, and the Alaska Wilderness Winery outside Kodiak makes blueberry wine, salmonberry wine, and sparkling strawberry rhubarb wine. And I can't wait to try that one.
Wait. What's salmonberry? Like salmon?
Oh, it's a lot like a Finnish lingonberry or something like that. It grows in very cold climates.
Oh, it's an actual berry. It's not a salmon fish.
No, it's not made out of salmon.
That's what I was thinking.
That would be going a little too far.
Yeah.
We were wondering, Fred.
Anyway, next, Linda. What's the average price of a bottle of wine in the U.S. these days?
I don't know. It's about $30. What do you think?
Let me guess.
$10?
$10.99.
Okay.
The latter guess is a lot closer. It's $9.19.
There you go, Bonnie. Okay. Well, Bonnie's a major.
Well, Linda buys the more expensive wines.
That's
She's rich and all that.
Thank you,
that seems low, but it's actually more than three times the world average price of $3, which means that a lot of foreign people are drinking some pretty cheap wine. America, of course, is the world's biggest consumer of wine, drinking 760 million gallons last year. And in 2010, we surpassed France after they took to drinking Coca-Cola and beer and starting to cut back on their wine.
Well, we're both sitting here with our mouths open.
But anyway, that's overall wine consumption. Per capita, we're only number 62 at 3 gallons per year. Okay, Linda, last question. What country is number one in wine drinking per capita? If you guess this, I'll be really impressed.
Uh-oh. Now I have to impress Fred Tasker. What am I going to do? I'm going to say maybe it might be China.
Bonnie, what would you say?
Argentina.
It is Vatican City.
Oh!
It's the world's smallest country with 100 acres and 798 very happy residents. And it makes you wonder how many tons of wafers went with that wine.
Exactly.
Well, we've got some happy people there.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. The last question, who drinks wine in America? 55% are women, leaving men 10 percentage points behind. And one-third of America's 330 million people drink wine. Our favorite wines are, and this is in order, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Grigio, Merlot, and blended wines. And quickly falling out of favor are White Zinfandel, for which I say hooray, and oddly enough, Syrah. And I was shocked about that. I love Syrah. I've got to look into that.
Okay.
66% of the wine we drink comes from the United States, leaving 34% as imports. And our favorite countries to import wine from are Italy, Australia, Argentina, Chile, and France. In fact, Americans drink more Italian wine than the Italians do, although that may be partly because there are about 5 Americans for every Italian.
I was going to say, some of that has to do with the size.
Yeah, Americans' overall wine consumption has increased 2 or 3% a year for the past 21 years in a row. But now craft beer is growing faster. They were up 18% last year, so... My fellow wine drinkers, those beer guzzlers are gaining on us, and we've got to try harder.
Unite.
Well, the Vatican City was
Vatican
really
Vatican City what, was definitely that, the answer of the
year. I mean, that is amazing. That very amazing. Okay, so now back to Carlisa Colwood. We see the Science Museum construction. Those of us who drive by it on Bicentennial Park, and it's making some progress. So, when is it due for completion?
In 2016.
So, okay, so coming along.
Yes.
We see it's huge. I mean,
yes, it's much larger than our current space, so I think many people will be surprised once it is completed.
I had the chance to go through a hard hat tour of the new site, and it's just mind-boggling. I mean, fabulous ideas, very, very new. They're ready for anything virtual now or in the future.
Yes.
It's amazing. So tell me something. You have large areas for children. What's going on there? What will go on there?
Well, the museum will have lots of state-of-the-art new areas, one in particular, the Living Core, which will feature 600,000-gallon aquarium space.
And when I saw the spot there, it's just enormous.
Yes.
600,000 gallons of water?
Yes.
How are they going to contain that?
I don't know. They have figured it out. So everyone's looking forward to when that particular piece is completed, because it will be phenomenal.
And what is it going to show?
It will look at the special habitats that we have here in South Florida, such as the Everglades, coral reefs, mm-hmm. hardwood hammock areas, mangroves, etc. And, you know, it will have three different levels, an outdoor upper level. The second level will focus on coast and offshore areas, and the lower level will be more of an immersive space where you can actually look up into the tank itself.
Oh, my goodness. And I understand that this area is going to be very, very big, so if people want to, you're going to rent it out, the space out for parties and things?
Yes, exactly. It will be able for rental, and once it is completed, it'll be quite a beautiful space.
Wow. Amazing. So what else is going to go on there? Because that's just a small part of the museum.
Yes. We'll also have an innovation center that will look at new ways to use technology and science. We'll also have From the Feathers to the Stars, which will look at the evolution of flight from the dinosaurs through birds to space exploration. And we'll also have a space called an early childhood space called the River of Grass, which will be specifically for early childhood learners, so toddlers through six-year-olds.
That's great.
It's going to be an amazing place mm-hmm. to go for adults and children.
Yes.
And
yes.
children. It's fantastic. Just quickly, are there any special exhibits coming up this autumn?
Yes, we will have the Amazon Voyage, Vicious Fishes and Other Riches, which is...
Wait. Vicious Fishes and Other Riches?
Yes.
Okay, well, it sounds fascinating.
That's the greatest bumper sticker I ever heard of.
It's been a really interesting week. Carlisa Colwitt, Director of Programs and Content at the Patricia and Philip Frost Museum of Science. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck on the new museum. It sounds fantastic. Bonnie, great to be with you.
Thank you so much, Linda.
And Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
And great information, Fred.
Yes.
New stuff.
Right. Yeah. Well, next week we're going to be talking with Tim Andriola about his new food concept, Intact Cooking, and his new restaurant. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.